Good morning. I'm watching you, Dan. Walloon Church. Yeah, how you doing? Good to see you. Did you know there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money? 2,000. Are you aware 16 of the 38 parables in the Bible speak of money and possessions and things? Did you know 1 in 10 verses in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, talk about money and possessions? In other words, Jesus and his word, the Bible, talks about money a lot, a lot. I think it's interesting that when we talk about Jesus and money, he never asked for money from anybody. Never once is it recorded that Jesus asked anybody for money. Talked about money all the time, but he never asked for money. So, Jesus, why did you talk about money so much, but you never asked anyone for money? What's that all about? I don't understand. Truth is, Jesus does want something from us, and it's not our money. Any guesses? Jesus wants our, say it with me, our hearts. Jesus really wants our hearts. I would argue that the greatest danger for us here, 2025, for people living in the USA, is not secular humanism. I would argue the greatest danger for us is not communism, it's not Marxism, it's not New Age thinking, it's not progressive socialism, it's not racism or sexism. The greatest danger to people like us is not Mormonism or Islam or satanic influences. I'm telling you, the greatest danger for us, it's not gangs or drugs or alcohol or pornography or war. Give me your attention. The greatest danger for us living in the richest nation at the zenith, at the richest time in our nation's history, the greatest danger for you and for me, by far, is materialism. It really is. It's the desire for more and more stuff. I'm just not going to be happy if I don't have the new iPhone 17 Pro Max. Do we have that picture up there? I got to have it. Got to have it. Or I need the new 2026, because they're out now, Yamaha Sidewinder, or the Arctic Cat Alpha, or see Aaron or Trevor at Countrywide Sports, the Polaris RMK snowmobile. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Or I would be content if I could just get the new Ford F-150. By the way, that's the best-selling truck in the country. For me personally, my golf driver is 5 years old, so I'm way behind. If I could just get the Callaway Elite, then Casey, I'd be happy. Or this afternoon at 4:30, if I just had a 100-inch Samsung TV. What do you think, D? 100-inch Samsung TV. Jesus knows that if we're allowing money and the pursuit of stuff to occupy our hearts and our minds, driving our decisions, listen, he doesn't have our hearts. If that's where our focus is, he doesn't have our hearts. Here's the truth from God's book. Jesus doesn't want, Jesus doesn't need our money. Okay? Jesus wants our hearts. Because where our treasure is fixed, our hearts will be focused. Where our treasure is fixed, our hearts will be focused. Locate with me in your Bibles, on your phones, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Jesus here gives it to us straight about money and our stuff. He really does. So if you're able, would you stand with me? Matthew 6, we're going to read verses 19 to 24 out loud together. This is God's words. Here we go. Read with me. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Let's pray. Lord, we're going to need your help today, because the truth is, this is a dangerous subject to all of us. And it's so deceptive. We can be enslaved to chasing stuff and not even realize it. Because the truth is, Lord, almost all of us standing right now are pretty comfortable. We're pretty content. Most of us haven't missed a meal in a long time because of a lack of resources. So would you show us why we're so susceptible to stuff grabbing hold of our hearts? Meet us today in your church, Lord. We're listening. We're ready to receive from you. And all the church family gathered at Walloon Lake said with one united voice, amen. You can be seated. Jesus gives us three things to focus on in these verses. Three areas where you and I, living in the richest nation at the richest time in all of our history, we need to focus our attention. First, Jesus tells us where to focus our hearts. Chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Secondly, Jesus tells us where to focus our eyes. Chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Third, Jesus tells us where to focus our devotion. Chapter 6, verse 25. Let's begin. Where to focus our hearts. Verse 19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth eat them, where rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. Jesus begins with a command, not a suggestion. Okay? Don't store up treasures here on earth. He explains there's two different types of treasures in life. Earthly treasure, heavenly treasure. Okay? What you and I treasure, what you and I value and cherish, what we make the priority of our hearts, listen close, our hearts follow that. Whatever it is, we're treasuring, okay? Jesus explains earthly treasures are temporary. Earthly treasures get lost. They lose value. Earthly treasures can be stolen. In Jesus' day, track with me here, they didn't have debit cards. They didn't have savings accounts. They only had actual stuff. Jesus warns them, your precious metals, your silver, your gold will get tarnished over time. Your nice robes can get eaten by moths. Your sheep can be devoured by Ben Wolf. Your fields can burn. The shekels you worked so hard for can be stolen. Okay? The same thing is true today, 2025. Our retirement accounts can shrink in a day, like this last week, in a bear market. Our wallets and purses can be stolen. Our bank accounts can be hacked. Our laptops can be damaged if Pastor Brent spills coffee on them. Our $1,000 cell phones, if we drop them, can be gone in a heartbeat, Henry. It's amazing how fragile those little things are sometimes. Jesus is pointing out that things on earth are temporary. The stuff we have, our precious stuff, is fragile and doesn't last. Okay? So here's Jesus' command. He said, instead of stacking up treasure on earth, stack up your treasures in heaven. Don't stack up your treasures on earth. Stack up your treasures in heaven. Why? Because when we stack up our treasure in heaven doesn't rust. Treasure in heaven doesn't spoil. Treasure in heaven can never be stolen. Treasure in heaven cannot be hacked or damaged. The treasure in heaven, track with me, is insured by Jesus Christ. Okay? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the guarantor of everything we deposit into the bank of heaven for his safekeeping. Okay? Denise and I, a few years ago, we were thinking about buying a place, and we toured a house of an older man who had died. And this man held on, I think, to everything he ever owned. Okay, this man was a hoarder. Okay, there were boats, multiple boats, that wouldn't float. There were holes and motors didn't work. And there were cars that couldn't be driven. They were missing engines. There were campers, multiple ones, filled with mice. There was food, hundreds and hundreds of canned food that had gone and it was spoiled and inedible. Tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff that you couldn't give away. And the owner, which was a relative, realized, you know what? We're going to have to bring in multiple dumpsters to actually get rid and throw this stuff away because there's no value there. So that's the point Jesus makes. This stuff, it's temporary. So if that's treasures on earth, what exactly is treasures in heaven? How do we make deposits in the bank of King Jesus? Laura, go ahead, put that slide up. Because everything we can take beyond the grave is heavenly treasure. Everything that we can take with us into glory, new heaven, new earth, that's treasures in heaven. It's teaching and sharing and memorizing God's Word, the Bible. It's teaching and instructing our children and our grandchildren about Jesus and the gospel and God's Word. It's the fruit of giving and praying and fasting in Jesus' name. It's actions done in the power and in the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with Jesus and you act, that's treasure in heaven. It's making disciples. It's helping other people grow in Christ and mature in Christ. It's souls won for Christ, watering the soil, weeding, planting, harvesting. It's joining Jesus to advance his kingdom and his church. Well, what else is treasure in heaven? It's choosing obedience to Jesus and his word. It's giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure to King Jesus. That's treasure in heaven, okay? And Jesus brings us right back where he wants us. Verse 21, Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Can I just say this loudly? Jesus doesn't need our money. He doesn't. Jesus, the psalm says, owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Jesus is the owner of the cosmos. He spoke the billions and thousands of billions of galaxies into existence. Think about it. Jesus isn't broke. Can I say it? Jesus doesn't need our stuff. If he needs more gold, if he needs more diamonds, Jesus can speak 100,000 tons of gold or diamonds into existence. Matter of fact, if you get into Revelation 21 and 22, the pavement on the road in glory is made of what? Anybody know? It's gold. It's gold. What Jesus really wants from you and from me is our hearts. Because when he has our hearts, then he knows now he has our time and our talents and our treasure. Because where our treasure is fixed, our hearts will be focused. Okay? Where our treasure is fixed, our hearts will be focused. Jesus instructs us, first, put your focus on your heart. Tells you what you treasure. Secondly, Jesus tells us where to focus our eyes. Tells us what lens we see the world through. Verse 22, here we go. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actual darkness, how deep that darkness is. What Jesus is talking about here is light and darkness. And you go, well, what's that all about? Bodies filled with light, bodies filled with darkness. What's that all about? The word healthy in the Greek language means generous. You tracking? The word unhealthy implies being stingy. So if you have a healthy eye, it's a generous eye. If you have an unhealthy eye, you have a stingy eye, meaning there's two different ways of viewing the world. There's an abundance mindset, and there's a scarcity mindset. And everybody here, you either see life as an abundant resource from the Lord, or you have a scarcity mindset, okay? If you have an abundance mindset, you look at the world and you say, isn't my Father God great? My Father provides, and I'm his child, and all of life is a gift. This is my Father's world. This world is teeming with enough for everybody. You look around and you say, look, Jesus, you even take care of the birds. Slide down to verse 26. You even take care of the sparrows and the robins, and you provide for them. Of course you're going to take care of me. You have a life of gratitude and thanks to our God. You live generously toward your neighbor. That's a life, an eye that sees life, it's healthy. First century Jew would say, you have a healthy eye. You have a healthy view of God and the world. Now, let's compare that. If you have a scarcity mindset, you look at the world and you see lack. There's no provider, there's no father, you're on your own. You better look out for you. This world is dangerous. They're out to get you. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Your vision is focused on what you have and you're afraid you might lose it. I got to hold on tight because somebody's going to take it from me. And if that's you, your heart is filled with greed and with fear. Oh no, somebody might take it from me, and I need to hold tight. If this is you, here's what Jesus would say. You have an unhealthy eye. You really do. You've a distorted view of the world. You're clutching and holding tight to every shekel. Abundance and scarcity. Two very different ways of viewing life, okay? Two very different ways of viewing money. Matter of fact, listen close. You can have two people with the exact same income, the exact same cost of living, the same economic responsibility, but they see the world in very different ways. Especially if you grew up poor or felt unsafe, or you grew up in an unstable family, it's easy to grow up with an unhealthy eye. Few questions for us as we ponder regarding our eyes. How do you see the world? How do you see the world? If you had absolute assurance Jesus would provide enough for you, how would that change your view of money and generosity? See, when we begin to trust Jesus' vision of abundance, when we view God as our provider and our Father who cares about us as His children, Jesus' teaching on money begins to make sense. It really does. Suddenly, you know what? This clicks. I can seek first His kingdom. I can give and know it will be given back to me. Then you're free. You really are. You're free to be generous and give what the Lord has already given you. But if you don't believe this Jesus teaching, if you don't believe it, then this sounds really strange. And generosity doesn't just sound foolish, it sounds a little dangerous, sounds reckless. What do you mean you don't have to hoard and hold on tight? Remember, Jesus is telling us our eyes are good or our eyes are bad. Our treasure is in heaven or our treasure is here on earth. We serve God or we serve material things. Can I tell you something? Fence riding is not an option. I wish it was. I'll be right here in the middle somewhere. He says, no. Fence riding is not an option. That's middle ground. That's lukewarm. That's not an option. Remember, Jesus doesn't want or need our money or our stuff. It's true. Where our treasure is fixed, our hearts will be focused. Because Jesus wants our what? Say it with me. Quick review. Jesus tells us to put the focus on our hearts, tells us what we treasure. Secondly, Jesus tells us where to focus our eyes, tells us what lens we see the world through. Third, Jesus tells us where to focus our devotion, tells us who our master is. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Mammon was the ancient Syrian god of wealth. Mammon was the ancient Syrian god of wealth. It was Jesus' way of saying, you know what? Mammon, money, that's a rival god. That's a rival idol. We want so badly for money to be neutral. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just about the heart. But for Jesus, wealth is powerful. Wealth is persuasive. Wealth can sway our hearts like a demonic force. at work in our souls and in our society. Matter of fact, I would argue entire sections of our world are ruled and controlled by the worship of mammon, by the worship of money. The God of mammon is so filled and so persuasive, so much evil, so much injustice, it's all about the worship of mammon, the worship of money. War, most wars, racism, politics, crime, the media are all infected with the God of mammon, chasing money. Almost every issue, if there's a problem, if you get down to it, it has money as its source. Let's see. Myron, would you stand just for a moment, okay? This is Myron Matz, okay? MGM Construction, if you need any work done in Bayview. I'd like you to move to your right, and then I'd like you to move to your left. But I'd like you to do that at the same time. Ready? Go. Thank you, Myron. It's not possible. It really isn't. You cannot go one direction and the other direction at the same time. That's exactly, go back to verse 24, what Jesus has said. Money, mammon, makes you choose. You're going to move towards Jesus or you're going to move towards money? Mammon will take over our hearts unless we find a way to resist its gravitational pull on us. And I'm telling you what, that's like a daily thing for most of us, because you might have it right one day, and then the next day, it's got a hold of your heart again. That's the challenge. If you could just do it once and it's taken care of for the rest of your life, wouldn't that be amazing? But mammon just keeps attacking. So many of us serve God on Sundays, okay? You and me, Jesus. And then Monday through Saturday, we're serving mammon. We're serving our stuff. We're chasing after. And we would be quick to notice if that's where our hearts were Monday through Sunday and we were all about stuff, we would notice atheistic materialism. We would. Oh, that's bad. But we're kind of blind to materialism that feels like it's godly. We're kind of blind to materialism that has kind of a little bit of a sugar coat on it. In his letter to the church at Laodicea, here's what Jesus said. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's materialism that thinks it's godly. Materialism that thinks it's okay, okay? Jesus says, you're not hot, you're not cold, what are you? You're lukewarm, and you think you're kind of godly. Here's my point. That's the danger for Christians in 2025. That's the danger for me and for you. It's abundance, it's materialism that thinks it's godly. Well, I do like my stuff, and I don't mind chasing, but I still love the Lord. Here's what Billy Graham once said. If a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. If you'll get money straight with the Lord, almost every other area gets straightened out. That's right in line with Jesus' teaching from Matthew 6. Get your relationship with money and stuff right. It's going to set your heart free. It'll change your heart. How? According to Jesus, through living with a healthy eye, it results in generosity. It does. If we've got healthy eyes, we're going to live generous lives. Now, let me just say, generosity doesn't mean, oh, I have to tithe, or it's a double tithe, or I'm going to give large portions of my stuff away. Generosity starts by buying a friend a coffee. It starts by welcoming people to your dinner table. Generosity starts by taking a meal to a mom who's stressed and overwhelmed. Generosity begins by being willing to forgive when you're hurt. Why? Because generosity isn't just about actions, it's about our inner world. It's about our hearts. It really is. Jose, I need you up here. This is my friend Jose. How are you?
Very good.
Good. If you've not been downtown Petoskey, a wonderful little restaurant called...
Thank you.
What's it called?
Jose.
Yeah. I wonder how long you had to spend figuring that out. I like it. Jose's.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you grab that for me?
Okay,
and let's stretch this baby all the way out, okay? You better back up a little bit. Don't go off the end. Okay. Good. 188 inches. How do you like that? This represents, okay, use your imagination with me, all of time. Okay? Jose, you're holding Genesis 1:1 in your hand. Okay? Way down there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Okay? And now here on the end, this is Revelation 21 and 22. New heaven, new earth. Okay? And we look at that and you go, this is all of recorded time throughout all of history. Now, if your life lasts, let's say, 75 years, 85 years, 95 years, let's say you live to be 105, okay? Where will you end up on this tape measure, okay? Think about it with me. Where is your life, all of recorded? Can I suggest to you that we are just one small little dot in all of recorded time. Just one little dot. Here's my challenge. Why not take this one and only life we get? Jose, this is it. You only get once, okay? And our one little dot, let's make a difference. Let's leverage this one life that we have in our one little dot. Let's make an eternal, lasting difference. And can I tell you? It begins by choosing generosity. It does. Lord, I want to start laying up treasure in heaven. I want to see the stuff I do make a difference for all of eternity. I don't just want one little dot. I want my life to count by God's grace. By God's grace. Okay. Are you ready for the dramatic? Yes. Let it go. Thank you, Jose. Well done. Isn't that pretty much how it is? And we go into the ground and we're with Jesus for all of eternity. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we pause and we invite you right now, Jesus. Would you take your word and apply it to our hearts? We're all in different places. We've all experienced different things in our lives. And we want you to take your word. Show us what you want us to hear from you. Speak. We're listening. Every one of us are here on a journey, this thing called life. And you only get one. And here's the truth. Every one of us here, at times, we've indulged in earthly treasure. At times, we've chased after, we've made the priority of our lives chasing after earthly things that rust, that get stolen, that fade, that disappear, at the expense of chasing after treasures in heaven. Lord, forgive us of that. That's called sin. And we do the U-turn, and we run to you, and as you make things clear, Lord, we call it what you do. It's sin. Wash and cleanse and purify by the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. Would you apply it as we confess it? Lord, we know that money and stuff are neutral, but we've also just heard from you that money and stuff can grab hold of our hearts. The God of Mammon is still alive and active in 2025. And the truth is, Lord, sometimes we're chasing after stuff instead of chasing after your Son, Jesus. So I just wonder, are there any pockets of materialism that thinks it's godly that have been gathering in your heart? Would you be willing to say, Lord, loosen the chains of materialism in my heart? I want to be free. I want to have a good eye, and I want to see life in an abundant way, because you are an abundant God, and you are generous. Lord, would you help me? Give me the power, give me the desire to make treasures in heaven my priority and passion. And Lord, I want to start that right now. And if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Just right where you're seated, or if you're watching online, hit that prayer button. That's me. Lord, give me a good eye. Anybody just say, that's me. By God's grace, I want treasures in heaven to be my passion. Anybody else? Anybody in the balcony? Yeah. Yeah. I want to pray for my friends here. Pray for those watching online, Lord. Would you reorder our priorities? Give us the courage, the boldness, the faith to trust that you are indeed our Father. This is your world, and you've promised that you're going to watch over your kids. You are. And you've never failed us, and you never will. Watch over my friends. Help us to reorder our priorities. Help us, Lord, to make your Son Jesus and treasure in heaven the passion of our lives. Give us the courage, and if we find ourselves later this week, Lord, help us to quickly run to you and call it what you do, sin, and get clean and back right with you. Lord, this is oftentimes a daily challenge. It really is. Some hard days, it's an hourly challenge. You might be here in person watching online, and here's what you need to know. New life, new priorities, new passion begins with a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So as we close, have you said yes to Jesus by faith? Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord and has risen from the dead for you? That's where new life, new priorities begin, with Jesus. Is Jesus in you? Is he working? Is his Spirit alive? If you don't know, if you're unsure, make your way over to the prayer corner. Those folks would rejoice and love to pray with you. See, Pastor Bran or Pastor Chad or myself will get you a Bible, will get you going. If you're watching online, hit that prayer button right now. We'll pray with you. We'll send you a Bible. We'll get you going in your journey wherever you might be. Thanks, Lord, for speaking so clearly on a subject that we really need your thoughts on. Help us to line up our lives with your book. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.